Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The one and only Savage Nation. Yesterday, something happened on the show. Yes, now hold on. We're going to be talking about Obamacare and how it looks like it's going to go down in flames. We're going to talk about the Congress wearing a hoodie, making a disgrace of himself and of Congress. Yes, we're going to talk about Scalia, and we're going to talk about the other Supremes. We're going to talk about the illegitimate organization Media Mutts, and why their 501c3 has not yet been revoked by the Republicans. We're going to talk about Andrea Mitchell and how she should be at least indicted for sedition, for going to Cuba and glorifying the Castro dictatorship day after day. We're going to talk about Andrea Mitchell and her old man who ran the Federal Reserve and what they got away with and why they've not been indicted and investigated. We're going to talk about all of that, but first I got to spin the clock back. To those of you who missed it yesterday, something magical happened in the second hour of the show. Normal show, good show, good show. A lot of people loved yesterday's program. These are very difficult times to do radio. Everyone's afraid of their own shadow, especially on issues of race. But since I know my own heart, I'm not afraid of the subject. Now, maybe you are, but I'm not, because I know where I stand. So nevertheless, about a quarter to the end of the second hour, I get a call. My producer says, "You're not going to believe who's on the air." I said, "Who?" He's a guy who says he sang with the Platters in the 50s, and he wants to sing you a song called Only You. I said, come on. So the guy comes on, and he sings it, and I hung on every note because, you know, you don't know when someone's going to sing on your show whether it's going to be good or bad. I was afraid that, you know, he would break, a note would break, or it wouldn't be good, and I'd be cringe, have that cringe moment. The man was amazing, and I think that you have to hear this song because so many people emailed me. Three people emailed me, all in my family, saying they were touched, they had tears in their eyes, they were moved, they couldn't believe it. I want you to listen to Milton Bullock calling the Savage Nation yesterday. If you missed it, don't miss it right now. Go ahead, play it. Well, I have a real surprise for you. During the break, we had a call from, well, I'm not going to tell you who's on the air. You're not going to believe it. You're listening to the Savage Nation, and I was pleasantly surprised to receive a call from this gentleman. Milton. From North Carolina, welcome to the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Dr. Savage? How are you doing, my dear brother?
I hear that you are a former, a current member of the great rock and roll group, The Platters.
Well, a former member, but I'm currently booking myself now as The Golden Platter. And
I love it. Now, your song, Only You and the Great, your songs, I grew up on many of them, Only You and the Great Pretender. My dad used to play them on the car radio as I sat in the right seat on the way into work in a store. And, boy, do I remember those songs. So, Milton, you're calling for what reason today?
Well, I understand you got a special day. Is today your birthday?
No, it's coming up Saturday, March 31st. But, nevertheless, today is as good as any day if you got something for me.
Yeah, I got something for you, my friend. I've been listening to you for about the last 5 years, and I appreciate you. I feel you, brother, and you do defend for me and protect me, my rights and everything, and the rights of people here in America. And you're
wow.
A great asset and a great voice for us with no voice.
Oh, my God. You know, I tell you, a call like this makes my day, my year, my decade for being in radio, Milton.
Yes.
Because, as I say, we never hear from people out there. You know, we argue, we agree, disagree. But it never gets that personal. And coming from, you know what it is, Milton? It's a generational thing. You and I are from the same generation when I think people were in many ways much more civil with each other of different races. Am I right about that?
You are right on point, Michael. Right on point.
But so, Milton, are you gonna sing me a few bars of Only You?
Man, you know I got to lay it on you. I got to put it on you because you're so deserving.
All right, we're all ears. The Savage Nation. Okay, get ready. Here's the Golden Platter. Milton Bullock of the Platters singing Only You for Me.
Only you can make all this world seem right. Only you can make the darkness bright. Only you and you alone can thrill me like you do and fill my heart with love for only you.
You are the man. I remember that song. Milton, how do you do this? How do you hold it up like that, man?
Well, I'm 73 years old, and I'm still hanging, still doing it.
I mean, there's certain music that touches me, and this is some of it. I'll tell you, Milton, give Beowulf your email address, and I'll get in touch with you tonight.
All right, my friend. Well, you never know. God bless you, Mike.
You know, look, this is like early radio, the early days of talk radio when things were spontaneous and there was a lot more freedom. I got to tell you that. People didn't know what to expect. It's not that things have become more partisan. I think things were more partisan 100 years ago in this country than they are today. Things were quite partisan even during FDR's time, partisan during Eisenhower's time, partisan during Kennedy's time. When were they not partisan? How many times do I have to tell you the same thing? The mark of a healthy democracy is dissension between the parties. When both parties agree and there is no dissension, you have a dictatorship. So don't go for that liberal crap that we're all supposed to get along. We're not supposed to all get along. There's supposed to be vocal disagreement between parties. That's number one. And vocal disagreement in the media. We're not supposed to walk in lockstep with the tyrant in the White House. You hear me? That's the story. Now, if you want to comment on Milton's song, go ahead. 1-800-449-8255. Otherwise, I'm dead in the water. All right, let's go on to another story here that is a little less pleasant. And that is a former Black Panther and a good homie of Obama, Democrat Rep. Bobby Rush, thrown off the House floor for wearing a hoodie into Congress. Listen to clip number 9.
Just because someone wears a hoodie does not make them a hoodlum. The Bible teaches us, Mr. Speaker, in the book of Micah 6:6-8,
the member will sustain.
These words.
The member will.
These sustain. Words. He the has member, shown you, O man.
The member will
what is
suspend.
Good.
The chair must remind
what does not. What does the Lord require
17,
of you? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And in the New Testament, Luke 4:18-20, teaches us these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor.
All right, that's the former Black Panther and homie from Chicago of the president, Bobby Rush, who lost his right to speak on the House floor after he violated House rules by putting on a hoodie and sunglasses in honor of Trayvon Martin, the Florida teen shot last month. He went on and he gave a speech, and he was removed from the House floor for wearing a hoodie. He was wearing a hoodie under his suit jacket. He took off his jacket, pulled the hood over his head, and put on sunglasses while saying something about racial profiling and this and that. They tried to get him off the stage, and then they did it. They said that his donning of the hood, violated Clause 5 of the House Rule 17 against wearing hats on the House floor. Now, God forbid a Ku Klux Klan member did a thing like this. Do you think they would have been supported by Andrea Mitchell? Do you think that there would have been an outcry? You know, it's not a crime to wear a hoodie when you're out in the street, but it sort of is a crime to disgrace Congress with a cheap stunt like this. That's what I think. Now, it got even worse, but predictably worse, which is Representative Maxine Waters on CNN saying that there's evidence of a hate crime. Now, listen to her. She's so predictable that you may as well hear it in clip 8.
There are too many unanswered questions, and I really, personally believe this is a hate crime. Let me just say this. The evidence...
I'll get off my show. No, I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you believe. How's that? I don't care what you believe. You're a demagogue like Sharpton, like Jackson. You're trying to capitalize on this tragedy for personal gain, and I will have none of it. Let's take a caller before I take a break, because I don't want to lose my temper and my good mood. Let's begin in New York City. Daniel, welcome from WOR. Daniel, what's on your mind?
That was a golden moment listening to that gentleman sing. It brought like tears to my eyes and joy to my heart. What's going on in my life? And to hear this today, in this day and age on radio, my God, I am just so thrilled. I listen to your show every day. I missed it yesterday, but thank God you played it today. God bless you. Oh, my God. I don't know. I'm just a
But what? No, wait a minute. I don't want to milk this, but what is you loved his singing, the interchange? What part of it that moved you the most?
Well, there was this human quality, this realness, the reality of a real person, and he was so genuine. And
let's not forget that he's black and I'm white, and we seem to have a good relationship on the radio. We didn't have to revert to hoodies and racial profiling and hate crime conversation, did we?
No, we're just two normal good people.
Yeah. That's the point. I went to Jamaica High School in New York. I'm not saying that I was, you know, living in a rainbow coalition, but I looked in my yearbook recently from Jamaica High. You're not going to believe it. I seem to have had friends, some of whom were black who signed the book, some were Korean who signed the book. How did that happen? The government didn't tell me I had to have a black friend and a Korean friend. How come I had a black friend and a Korean friend in those ancient days in Jamaica High School? How did that happen?
Only God knows.
God knows. I got to tell you this. The Great Society destroyed the society. The liberals ruined the society. The liberals ruined race relations in America, and they're getting worse by the day under the great divider, Barack Hussein Obama, which is why I'm sending you a copy of my great new book, Trickle Down Tyranny. I'll be right back.
Only you can make all this world seem right. Only you.
Yeah, it was a different time. We didn't need lectures on race relations. Either we got along or we didn't, and it was basically based upon the person, not their race. But of course, with the advent of big liberalism in the form of big government, in the form of LBJ's great society, we became less than a great society, haven't we? And so, therefore, let's open it up to the callers. I have an interesting story here in a minute, why Alicia Silverstone chews her son's food and spits it to him like a bird. I don't know who she is, but apparently she's a ditzy actress who chews food and spits it into her child's mouth. People are revulsed, but apparently pre-mastication is practiced worldwide amongst the avian community. This is the first time I've seen it practiced in Hollywood. But then again, the Hollywood people, as you well know, are insane. Gary in Ohio, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, before I say happy birthday and tell you exactly what you have been planned for this year, I want to talk a little bit about the number of wealth. A lot of people in the world ask themselves, how come some people have it? Well, how come?
Well, Gary, let's slow down. You're on an echo because you're on a speakerphone. That's the first. Secondly, you're the famous numbers guy who I haven't heard from for well over a year. I think we switched affiliates in Cincinnati. Is that why you're picking me up again?
No. You're very hard to get through it sometimes, Dr. Savage. But what I wanted to talk about first, before I get into the Federal Reserve, and believe me, I'm going to blow your mind on this, I want to talk about the number 28. As I said before, a lot of people in the world wonder why some people are rich, why some people are poor. Well, it's very simple. And the number 28 is the number of wealth itself. How do I know this?
Wait, today is the 28th, but it's not my birthday. The 31st is my birthday.
No, you're born on the 31st. You're a hard worker, but three of the five richest people in this world are born on the 28th. Bill Gates, Carlos Slim of Mexico, and Mr. Ortega. That's three out of five. What are the chances? As a matter of fact...
But what does that have to do with me, though? I don't understand it. Why is that a relevant story?
I'm just trying to explain a few things.
Oh, okay. So tell me about the numbers. 3 and 31 minus 9 and 2 equals 7. 7 plus 3 and 9 and 2 minus 31 is 31 equals 2. 7 plus 2 is 9 minus 7 is 2. Plus 7 plus 9 is 31. I mean, and?
No. That's not how the system works. Like, for instance, if you want to understand how the system works, you got to add it yourself. And you got to add, not subtract. Example, Barack Obama is born 8-4-1961. 8-4-1961 adds up to 29. 209 is 11. He passed Obamacare on 10-23-2010. I mean, excuse me, on 3-23-2000.
All right, I tell you what, I like this up to a point, but the sound is awful. He needs to call back on a landline. Do they have one in the lockdown that he's in? Do they? I know he uses the guard's phone every once in a while, but tell him the concrete's interfering with the reception. why Alicia Silverstone chews Sun's food, spits it to him like a bird. I don't know who she is. Obviously, she's a diseased mind. Alicia Silverstone has taken on a new and surprising role, mother who chews her infant's food before feeding it to him. Many people have voiced shock and revulsion at the sight of the 35-year-old star using her own mouth to feed her child, which she posted on video to her site. Yum, I fed Bear the Moki and a tiny bit of veggies from the soup from my mouth to his. It's his favorite and mine. I'm telling you. Can you believe this? Now, this is done in impoverished cultures where people have a Stone Age mentality, which, of course, actually matches Hollywood, incidentally. That's an impoverished culture with a Stone Age mentality. Now, of course, they went to a moron anthropologist at Cornell who said, well, yes, this is done in various third world countries. The researchers found that 63% of Chinese university students receive pre-masticated food as infants. Well, therefore, we're all primitive then for not... See, if you use a fork, you're just a rigid, uptight white person. If you really want to get down with the people, what you got to do is chew your food and spit it into your child's mouth. Now, even though passing food from the mother's yap to a child's yap can spread disease, and incidents where mothers have passed HIV, AIDS, Hep B, and foodborne pathogens to their child come from a mother's yap to a child's yap, that should not have any interference with your desire to act like one of the people and get down with the people. So rather than wearing a hoodie on the floor of Congress, why don't you just start chewing your own food, ladies, and spit it into your child's mouth to show that you're down with the people and you're a member of the new third world. This is what's going on in Hollywood. Yum, I fed Bear the Moki and a tiny bit of veggies from the soup from my mouth to his. It's his favorite and mine. Pre-mastication, my friends, this is what's going on. That's why I say the pollution from Hollywood is legion.
Savage.
I can't let go of this story of an actress, an idiot, who chews her baby's food and spits it in his mouth, saying that cultures do it. And I'm reading the article. This moron is one of the adherents to this insane practice who believes they're giving their child essential enzymes that can help their digestion and provide immunological resistance. Well, let us start with the idea that there's a thing called a fork, which is used by uptight, rigid white people to mash their food when they're taking a child off a diet of milk, mother's milk, and you're weaning the child into chewed food. What you do basically is you take your own food that you are eating and you mash it up with a fork, boys and girls. That is the way it's done in most societies since approximately 1601. Now, those of you who think that chewing food and spitting it into your child's mouth, mothers have passed HIV, AIDS, hepatitis B, and foodborne pathogens to their child using this insane primitive method. Pre-mastication can spread cavity-causing bacteria. Now, of course, she's a vegan, you understand, and she's into healthy eating. It's very natural for her. This is how she raised the children. I'd like to ask you what you think this little boy is going to be like at 14 and 15 when he's sitting in a psychiatrist's office and he can't get up, he can't do work, and he says, my mommy chewed my food for me when I was an infant. Therefore, the world owes me a living. This is an example of liberalism, someone at the apogee of insanity. Okay, you don't think so. You'll say that it's not my business. Would you pre-masticate your baby's food? Is that something you would consider doing because it has enzymes? You've heard it has enzymes. It's like you idiots who think eating a raw food diet makes you stronger and better. Now, it's true that birds eat a raw food diet, but they have a different gullet than you do. Enzymes. I used to hear this from morons. They say, well, why do you eat a raw food diet? Well, the enzymes aren't destroyed. Say the word enzyme 12 times. Enzyme, 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 enzyme. What does it mean? They don't know what an enzyme is, but they heard it's enzymes destroyed by the white man's cooking procedures, which is called fire. Yes, boys and girls, you see, I did have an earlier experience as a professional anthropologist before my doctorate from Berkeley in another field. And one of the things I remember from my years of getting my master's degree in anthropology was a great book called The Raw and the Cooked by Claude Lévi-Strauss. I read it in the original French. Yes, I know that's a crime today, but I had to do it for my graduate professor. He made me read the book in French and talk about it in French. Today, I can't speak more than two words of French. But in the book, The Raw and the Cooked, I believe it was Claude Lévi-Strauss, I believe so, it was so long ago, he argued that the differential between primitive societies and advanced societies was fire. That people who were still living in the Stone Age or the Bronze Age couldn't cook their food, they ate raw food. And that people who lived past the Bronze Age period cooked their food. That's why he wrote the book, The Raw and the Cooked, and of course, he studied many primitive cultures, lived with them as I did. Now we see the Hollywood tribe reverting to the barbarism and insanity that we have accused them of. You know what this is going to do to this child psychologically? Do you have any idea? Have you ever seen these kids at 15, 16, how messed up they are? The kids of these Hollywood idiots? All right, look, let's move on. It's not the most important story. To me, it's more interesting than Obamacare. Well, wait a minute. Now, it does tie into Obamacare in a way. I'm going to check the 11,000-page Obamacare manual. Beowulf, can we get a copy to me by overnight mail? And see if there's an index in it or an index, and see if there's anything under pre-mastication or whether it's covered by Obamacare. Now, I have to check Medicare A and Medicare Part B and see if pre-mastication is covered. Because if you're not pre-masticating for your child, you might lose coverage. See, under the new Obama plan, unless you revert to the mentality of a third worlder, you're not going to get the third world treatment that you're entitled to in Cuba. You see what I'm saying? Okay, let's go on to the callers. Milton, the callers like the platters. Could you play The Great Pretender? We didn't play that yet, did we? Smoke gets in your eyes by the platters. Let's hear that one. Let's hear something.
Ask me how I knew.
No, I don't like. Play Harbor Lights better. That reminds me of making out on the Belt Parkway. Let me hear Harbor Lights. Now you're talking. Those orange lights. This was before the Son of Sam summer. You could pull off on the side of the road and you could, you know, sit with a girl and kiss. And no one would put a gun to the window and shoot your brains out. Look at the world I'm living in. Think of how insane it is. I mean, in my time, you could go out in your car, pull off on the side of the road, smooch with a girlfriend, and nobody would tap on the window and blow your brains out with a .45. The Son of Sam ended it all. Do you understand what I'm talking about, or am I so out of touch with the times that you don't know what I'm even saying anymore? I see women now jogging with Blackberries in their hand, iPhones rather. Sorry, I said Blackberry. That's like a royal typewriter. That's like a manual typewriter, a Blackberry. I see young women near where I live running, looking down at their iPhones with headphones on their heads. What in the world could be so important that the Yenta has to look at her iPhone? What could be so important that the Yenta has to talk to someone while running? Do these people make love while tapping on their iPhone, I ask myself? Do they make love at all? Or do they make love to their iPhone? I don't know what's going on in this world. Well, Mike, I'm calling you because I got to tell you I'm part of that all-important demographic, the 85-plus. Now, although we don't buy Jack, we love you, Mike, over here in the assisted living facility. I'm having fun. The main thing is I'm having fun with radio. You can hear it in my voice. Anyone who listens to me on a regular basis hears already with the voice. You can hear if I'm straining. You could hear if I'm worried, depressed, angry. You know, isn't it amazing what you can hear in a microphone, in a radio speaker? This is an amazing thing. I've studied this. I've done an absolutely scientific study on this, and it's true. One of the qualities of radio, talk radio especially, is the voice of someone you've gotten used to listening to over a period of time, a number of years. You actually are so attuned to my voice and others in talk radio who you listen to, if you listen to others, and I assume you do, Well, most of them don't change their emotions. They're flatliners. Most of them are normopaths in radio. I got to tell you that. I'm proud to say I am not a normopath. My moods shift. I'm a fluid individual. Some days I'm up, some days I'm down. I don't medicate myself, so therefore you get the raw man here, the natural man. But those of you who listen to me, you can hear the days I feel good. I'm high. I feel high on life again. I don't know what happened. I feel like coming on to my birthday, I think this is going to be the best year of my life. No doubt I'll get hit by a car on the 1st of April, but no, I have a Slavic sense of humor at the end of the day. You can't curse yourself either with saying you're going to have good luck. I just have a good feeling about 2012. It's only 3 months into it, and I've had the worst 3 months of my life, but I have a very good feeling about the rest of 2012. Let me be very specific, and I'll tell you why. Because the numbers guy called, and if you do 331.42, and you add the numbers up and take off a 7, and then you add a 9, and you put in a 19, and you know what we come up with? I have no idea. That's why I don't understand why the numbers. You see, I'm not into numismatics. I don't understand it. There are people who are fanatically into numbers. They are usually into betting, racetrack betting. Number comes up, they'll go bet it, right? Do you bet your birthday? Does anyone do that on the lotto? I never won a thing in my life betting anything like that. Never. I could see, right, I'm stuck on the Milton call. Everyone's listening to the other guy's show, and they're talking about Obamacare. Yeah, that Obamacare's going to be killed. That's going to be killed. Oh, yeah, I heard it, Scalia. That Obamacare's finished. Yeah, I want to talk about Obamacare. It's Obamacare. Nobody wants to talk about Obamacare. Why, you have an influence over what the Supreme Court is going to do? It looks already. Which way is it going? No one knows. I ask a question, the other asks a question. The best one, of course, is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And, of course, the two women that were recently foisted on us in the Supreme Court were not even intelligent liberals. There's no intelligence there. There's a word for that type of individual. They're called doctrinaire. You look it up. They're doctrinaire leftists. They have no idea about the subject. They have no idea about the issue. All they know is which way they were told to vote and talk. And they speak almost in a monotone, because their mind was made up before they were even anointed by Obama. Notice I say anointed, not appointed. Sotomayor was never qualified to be a Supreme Court justice. She has absolutely no rulings in her history which indicates a legal mind. None whatsoever. He may as well have taken a sheriff from a county somewhere in Louisiana and put him on the Supreme Court. It's like we're living in a banana republic with these two. They're doctrinaire leftist fanatics. At least with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the former silver-tongue, fork-tongue head of the ACLU legal department, who never should have been allowed on the Supreme Court, but for the turncoat Republicans like Orrin Hatch, who ushered her in, they should have said, are you crazy? That'd be like taking someone from the Ku Klux Klan. Could you imagine if the Republicans had picked the legal counsel for the Ku Klux Klan and tried to get it on the Supreme Court? What would have happened? Well, that's what you had with the ACLU. That's Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And she goes on and on with that voice. Her voice gets me crazy altogether. Why? Why does Ruth Bader Ginsburg's voice get to me? I'll tell you why. It's mannish, number one, which unto itself doesn't bother me. I've met mannish women. It's got a pseudo-sophistication to it, a sort of East Coast, Upper East Side, Washington fake sophistication with a slight turn of a British in it that makes me very angry, because I know it's all fraudulent. This is a red diaper doper baby straight through and through. This woman was red when she was born. She's not white and she's not blue. This is a red, white, and blue woman? No, she's a red, red, and red woman. Listen to now, guys, as I start talking about it, you should be reaching for the... Do you have Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Oh, you do. That's good. Play a little bit. You'll hear the voice I'm talking about.
Tell me if I'm wrong about this, but I thought a major, major point of your argument was...
She sounds like Woody Allen on Laughing Gas.
Don't participate in this market. I'm making it much more expensive for the people who do.
All right, the guy is such a dummy, the Solicitor General, who is doing the bidding of the Obama administration, that the libs on the court are having to feed him lines such as saying, but wait, I thought you were going to say this. Don't you really mean to say that? And the Schmendrick standing there, whatever his name is. What's his name? Antonelli? Spumoni? I don't know what his name is. The Solicitor General, who can remember, Spaghetti, Cappellini, Rigatoni, Ronzoni, I don't know. So he's up there making a fool of himself to the extent that the libs on the court are saying, now, wait a minute, sir, don't you actually mean to imply that if the individual mandate is not invoked, then the costs will go up? You ever hear the reasoning like this? In other words, I'm supposed to insure illegal aliens, 36 million illegal aliens, and the costs are going to go down. That's what they want me to believe. You hear this? I never heard anything like this. But it's irrelevant what I think. You got the justices, they're going to make their decision. If they just look at case law, they can find the Schechter case in my book, Trickle Up Poverty, which is spelled out for them in detail if they don't even want to do the legal work. Many, look, 200,000 of you or more bought that book in hardcover. It's now in paperback, so I would assume 1 million people read it. Given that most books are read by at least two people, and then there's the library books, and then there are then there's the paperback, I would say 1 million people have read my book, Trickle Up Poverty. That means 1 million people have educated themselves to the fact that Obama has tried to pass an unconstitutional law. Okay, in plain English, see the Schechter case. It's that simple. Now, all they got to do is look at precedent, and this whole thing is thrown out. Now, would you breathe a sigh of relief? Yes, for several reasons. It shows you that Nancy Pelosi's Mussolini-like behavior didn't work. It shows that the troika of Obama, Reid, and Pelosi, although they gloated when they jammed it down our throats, that there's a higher authority than this troika of tyrants. That's a very important thing because it proves to us that we still live in a democracy. However, I have to say, however, with a slight, you know, addendum to that, I don't know what this tyrant is liable to do if and when the Supreme Court knocks down Obamacare, because there was a precedent of in the 1800s. It was Jackson. I think it was Andrew Jackson, or was it Stonewall Jackson? Was it Stonewall who said to the Supreme Court, now that you've ruled in force, remember that one? Was this not during the Civil War, Beowulf, I believe? My mind does not fail me. It was Andrew Jackson before the Civil War, and he said to the Supreme Court, now that you've ruled in force, meaning you don't have the army, I do, you're liable to see the same thing happen from this tyrant in the White House, surrounded by the most sycophantic media in the history of the world. Worse than Pravda, worse than Izvestia at their worst, is NBC, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, and CNN. I've never seen anything like it. No one can believe the limits to which they will go to cover for this tyrant. Okay? You care to comment on this? Don't call me. I really don't want to talk anymore about it. I got into it. I didn't even mean to get into it. I'd rather talk about other topics. Honest to God. You want to talk about premastication? Yes. You want to talk about something else that ends in I-O-N? No. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I want to say again that everyone who gets on my show today and the rest of this week and next week will get a free copy of my brand new book, Trickle Down Tyranny. But before I get to the callers on the show, and the phone number here is 1-800-449-8255, I have to say to you that I heard Andrea Mitchell of MSNBC in Cuba, where she's glorifying the healthcare system of Cuba. She is covering for the dictatorship of the Castro brothers, two of the meanest dictators of our time. And I'd like to know if you think that she should be indicted for sedition. I'd like to ask you if you think that Andrea Mitchell and her husband, the former head of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, should be investigated by Congress for the scam they've pulled on the American people. I say that for a reason. I don't know them from a hole in the wall. I don't have a personal vendetta against either of them. But there's something very wrong when a mouthpiece for Castro is a member of the American media owned by General Electric, and nobody in the media seems to think this is unusual, number one. And when she lies nakedly by saying everyone is happy in Cuba, the healthcare system is superb, does anyone out there understand how dangerous get away with a thing like that? I'd like to play for you this creature from the Black Lagoon, Andrea Mitchell in Cuba, where she says that the healthcare system is quite extraordinary, quite amazing, excuse me. Now, if the healthcare system, the Cuban model, was so wonderful, why did Castro need to get his healthcare out of the country? It's unbelievable. Listen to clip 11.
We have universal coverage here. Of course, it's a very different society and an economic model that would not work in the United States. What do you see as the advantages of the Cuban system, the low infant mortality rate, for instance, which is legendary around the world, but also the gaps that you're trying to fill.
I was struck by...
Yeah, okay. So if you want Cuban-style life, I suggest that you move to Cuba with Andrea Mitchell and Alan Greenspan. I don't think that they want to live in Cuba and have Cuba medical care. You see, Alan Greenspan is entitled to the same wonderful medical care that the other members of Congress, the other mandarins, are entitled to. I don't see Alan Greenspan flying for his checkup to Havana, do you? Something tells me that when Alan Greenspan has a Twitter in his heart at night, and God hopes he only lives to the age of Moses, he doesn't call up Dr. Fernando Gonzalez in Havana for his opinion. Something tells me he goes down to Bethesda for his treatment. This is what you get when you have a disconnect from reality of the type we have now between the government media complex and the people, but no one seems to call them on the carpet except me. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. She then goes on to talk about the damage we're doing to Cuba because of the embargo in clip 15. You got to hear this one. Listen to Andrea Mitchell committing sedition again.
Now, there have been real impacts of the embargo and very little chance that is going to change in an American election year. What economic reforms has Raul Castro tried to put in place in the last couple of years? We've seen private property, the ability to own.
To make things better. You hear, what has the dictator done to make things better for the impoverished people who live in the prison camp called Cuba? This is Andrea Mitchell of, and she's owned, remember, by who owns them, General Electric, no taxes. You know, I spent a lot of time on this yesterday. I want you to go to Trickle Down Tyranny when you buy it next week. And I want you to read this page after page of which corporations pay no taxes. Chief amongst them is General Electric. $5-some billion in income, zero income taxes. Now you understand why they have a Harridan like her on the air. Now you understand how a gutter rat like Al Sharpton can be put on the air in order to make sure they're not outside their corporate offices.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Only you can do make...
It is the Savage Nation. We've been talking about a lot of topics. I can't summarize all of them. I know that some of my affiliates come on at this time. We had an amazing caller yesterday, and we've talked about one of the original platters calling the show. And my God, have race relations plummeted since Johnson's era. We then went on to Obamacare. I don't even remember what else. Oh, I do remember. Now, toward the end of the hour, I went on and on about Andrea Mitchell in Cuba, basically being a mouthpiece for the dictatorship in Cuba. A shock to me to watch this woman get away with what she gets away with. And I ask myself, what is in it for General Electric to send this puppet to Cuba and glorify a dictatorship of the type that exists in Cuba? Here was Andrea Mitchell. As I say to you, her and her husband, in my opinion, should be indicted, or at least investigated by Congress to see if they should be indicted, for the scam they pulled on the American people with the years he was the head of the Federal Reserve. Do you realize what went on in this economy under Alan Greenspan? Do you have any idea? You don't have to wear a hoodie and dark glasses to be a criminal. You don't have to wear a hoodie and dark glasses to be a gangster. In fact, it used to be said in my day that you can steal more, you can rob more with a fountain pen than you can with a gun. Well, today you can rob more with a laptop than you can with a fountain pen or a gun put together. And if you're really good at it, you can wind up running a bank, or you could be the CEO of a major Fortune 100 corporation and think about what you can do to your workers and your own profits. So you had Alan Greenspan, the head of the Federal Reserve. Then you had his old lady, Andrea Mitchell, making a disgrace of herself on MSNBC for years, covering up every one of his deeds. Now they got away with it, but that's not good enough for them. She now goes to Cuba and pimps, in essence, for the Castro brothers. No interviews of people in the prison camps. No interviews of the families whose loved ones have disappeared in that hellhole called Cuba. Instead, she sends home glowing reports along the lines of what went on in this country in the 1930s, when New York Times reporters would go to the Soviet Union and talk about how wonderful the Soviet Union was. That's what they published in the New York Times. And so she interviews students who say it's a wonderful place, Cuba. Then she has a real whopper. She says the health care system in Cuba is quite amazing. It has advantages, low infant mortality rate, and things of that nature. How do you feel about Andrea Mitchell being in Cuba? Now, remember, she's not just an ordinary citizen. She works for General Electric's wholly owned public relations arm called MSNBC. How do you feel about her being there? I'm asking you a question. Is there a Cuban in the audience who knows the realities of Cuba, the realities of the rotten medical system? The system is so bad that Fidel used someone else from another country when he got sick. And I can guarantee you, when Andrea Mitchell gets a problem, she doesn't call up Fidel Castro for medical advice. She doesn't call for Dr. Hernando Gonzalez at the University of Havana. She goes to Bethesda for her excellent American medical care. Florida, Richard, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
You know, it's funny how these Americans go over there and they say on the MSNBC how great the Cuban system is. I'm going to tell you about the Cuban system. Yeah, the doctors are free. But guess what? When you need something done, you better call your family in the U.S. and send all that supplies they need over there, because there's nothing over there at all. You have to have money.
But why does Andrea Mitchell get away with acting as a mouthpiece for this dictatorship? Tell me why you think she's doing it to begin with. As a Cuban American, why does she glorify a dictatorship like that? What is she doing it for?
Because they want to make this country communist. What's the thing they took away in Cuba for us? They took our health care. They wanted to make it, well, we'll take care of you. We're going to feed you. We're going to do everything for you. Before you know it, you're dependent on them, and you lose your freedom. You lose everything.
But why would a multimillionaire like the Greenspan family want communism in the United States of America? Why would a woman worth millions of dollars want communism in this country?
Because they become richer. Look at
they become rich. Well, sure. Take a look at how rich Nancy Pelosi has come since she took over when she was Speaker of the House. Look how wealthy she become. If you investigate how much money the senators were worth before they took office and then after or during, you'll find out exactly which way the money flows. Look, we all see this for what it is. I run into people all the time, and they're all terrified of Obama's tyranny. Do you? I don't want to give you a leading question. But you and I both know this man would like a Leninist model in this country. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I see it every day. I see with his policies every day, taking over that thing they did on Friday, taking over the national resources for defense. What is that? Why would a president in a free country want to do that?
And why would a president be caught on a microphone she thought was closed, whispering to the head of Russia there, Putin's the first man, say to him, once I'm reelected, I have a lot more flexibility, what, to screw the American people and screw our allies? How in the world does he get away with this?
Because we're blind. The American people are blind. They don't see it coming. We're like a bunch of, you know, corn-fed cows here waiting to get slaughtered. It's ridiculous.
Well, if you can name my new book, my friend, I'm going to send you a copy of it. Do you know the title yet?
Trickle Down Tyranny.
Yeah, you're a winner. Show it to all your Cuban friends. Have a nice, nice black coffee on me. Nice black coffee on me. There's a book that if everybody who listened to this show bought and put it out on their desk at work, you would just see how progressive and tolerant the liberals really are. Take Trickle Down Tyranny to work next week. Go buy one Tuesday. You know, every bookstore in the country is going to have it up front. Sam's Club. All of the big chains are going to have it. It's a huge rollout. Do you have any idea what's going to happen if this book appears on the desks across America? Do you have any idea how tolerant the liberals are going to be of somebody else's opinion? Well, it spells it all out. Houston Thomas is also from Cuba. Thomas, go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, I have a story for you. My grandfather had told me a story when he lost his thumb in a machine accident, something along the lines work-related, that when he went to have his stitches out, the doctor said they had to be very careful in removing the stitches or the string or whatever material they used because they had to sterilize it for reuse. Now, this was back in 40s, I don't know, 50s, 60s, years ago. But
well, you see, that Andrea Mitchell would say that's because of the evil American embargo. See, if it wasn't for the evil gringo, you'd have all of the new stitching material that you might need in the wonderland of Cuba.
It's amazing. The tourism is just great.
Do you know how many people the Castro brothers lined up and shot, or how many they put away into? These are guys who fought alongside the Castro brothers. Some of them were put in prison for 30 years. You know that, don't you?
Yes, sir. My dad.
I am talking about revolutionaries who fought with these two guys who then did not like the direction the country was going, and they did not want a Soviet system in Cuba. They said, we didn't fight so this could become a prison camp. The Cuban people were supposed to be freer under you than under a Batista, and what they did was they put them into prison camps in Cuba.
Yes, sir. That was short of being a mini Hitler, for lack of a better term. That's exactly what it was.
Well, I believe that we should maintain the embargo until the dictatorship falls, and that the Cuban people are entitled to freedom on that beautiful island. They're wonderful people. I grew up on the Cuban music. I love Cuban music. I love Cuban culture. But believe me, I don't think there's a Cuban in Cuba other than those who work for Castro who appreciates the tyranny of that administration. I'm sending you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny for you and your friends in Houston, Texas. I'll be right back. Hey, wait, before I go, I want to ask you this. How much money do you need to earn each month? That's what IncomeAtHome.com wants to know, and they will help you make that happen. IncomeAtHome.com is America's leading work-from-home business. They have an A-plus for their business ethics with the Better Business Bureau. They're affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company, plus they do business in over 80 countries. The bottom line is this. They are legit. Your age, education, experience, they don't matter. You can do this. You can literally earn money on your computer from your kitchen table 24/7, even while you sleep. There's really no pressure. All you need to do is have a little spare time and their one-on-one coaching to earn great money from home. If you're sick of living paycheck to paycheck, if you're worried about job security, retirement, if you're ready to make great money from home, part-time or full-time, IncomeAtHome.com is adding my listeners in record numbers. They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. So visit IncomeAtHome.com. That's IncomeAtHome.com.
Savage.
These are crazy times. America is going through a change unlike any we've ever seen. You have a president who's signaled that he's a transformationalist. But you have to understand that transformation may not be to the benefit of the nation. Do you think the nation was so terrible before this imposter was foisted upon us? Was this nation so terrible before this unknown man was jockeyed into the presidency that we need to have it transformed? And what is the model that Obama is using for his transformation? Tell me what the model is. Is it Beijing? Is it London? Is it Venezuela? What is the model? Does anyone know the exact model that he has in mind? Or is it a one-party system of the type that Andrea Mitchell seems to love so much, that as practiced in Havana? That's a one-party system. Remember that. Along the lines of what the government media complex would like to have here, where there is no dissension, where there is no discord, where there is no opinion other than that of Obama and his minions and mouthpieces like Andrea Mitchell, a one-party system with a one media, government-controlled media. Is that the country you want to live in? Would that make it a better country? Is that the transformation that you want? Well, count me out. Count me out. My grandfather fled Tsarist Russia. My grandfather fled the Reds. My grandfather fled communism. I have been an anti-communist my entire life, not in principle, but because I've seen what it's done to people. 100 million people died in the last century as a result of communism. 100 million people died horrible deaths because of communism. And they have been fighting us in proxy wars for over 50 years now. The Korean War was a proxy war of communism versus our way of life, our economic system. The Vietnam War was another proxy war, so far as I could tell, between worldwide communism and the kind of economic system that we have. And now we have a transformationalist in the White House by the name of Barry Soetro. You may know him as Barack Obama. And we're all worried about it. Those of us who know what he wants to do based upon what he has done already and what he's written about, who his friends are, who his cohorts are. It's not a mystery to most of us. But apparently the Republicans can't see any of this. Apparently the Republicans are afraid to say what the rest of us see to be need to be said. If we had another party in this country, if we had an opposition party, if we had loyal opposition, what I am saying would be commonplace in Congress. It would be shouted from the rooftops. You'd see it day and night. But you don't see it because the other party is out for taking as much of the grift that they can get. They are raping the system the same way they raped it with the Democrats before Obama was put in power, as sure as I'm sitting here. Business as usual. Bridges to nowhere. Bridges to nowhere. You name it, they got it. More pork barrel spending than ever in history. The Republicans are no different in one regard, and that is raping the Treasury. That's why there's been no movement to stop Obama by the Republicans. It's the people who are stopping Obama. It's the voice of the people that you are hearing, not the voice of Boehner. Where was Boehner? They finally resurrected him from a corpse, as a corpse somewhere. He had something to mutter about Obama whispering to Medvedev something. They came him out. They brought him out again. Mr. Chesterfield, right out of a Mad Men show. Mr. Chesterfield comes out. They got him out again. Oh, that's terrible. What do you mean by that? Where is Boehner? What was he doing? Where's the opposition to this tyrant? This would-be tyrant, this growing tyrant, this homunculus of a tyrant. Where is the resistance to him? It's certainly not from the Republicans. It's from the people themselves. And thank God it seems to me the Supreme Court listens to the people somehow. Somehow it seems to me that the conservatives on the bench understand what the people want and what they don't want. 65 to 70% of the American people are opposed to Obamacare. That didn't stop Nancy Pelosi from acting like a minion of Mussolini. That did not stop Harry Reid from acting like a minion of you-know-what and Obama from jamming it down our throats, buying votes. No, this could be thrown out, and it'll be a great step towards the pulling down of the edifice of the tyranny that we have been living through. You know, when this is over, and if he is thrown out of office come November, if, God forbid, Romney stops making mistakes and says something, if only him and Ann would get their act together. She could do without altogether, by the way, as a speaker. She's not doing him any favors. This is another woman who shouldn't be speaking for her husband. Do you know that? She makes him look wimpy. She's trying to take the stage away from him, and she's not making many points. Why she is doing this, who's advising her again, they're undermining Romney with Ann Romney. I'm sure she's a fine mother and grandmother. She is not a politician. She's not running for office. She should not be heard from. My opinion. That's number one. And if Romney would get off his behind and put away the check pants for a few months and start to act like the man I know he really is and say the things that need to be said, he would get swept into office by a 20-point majority. But the reason he's not having any, doesn't have any traction is he won't talk to conservatives. Forget about me. I could, you know, my show will go on one way or the other. He comes on. I don't care if he's on my show. What do you think matters to me? I don't live by day-to-day ratings. I'm not in television. Television shows live by minute-to-minute ratings. I could never do it. You got to be insane to live that way. Look what it's done to them. Take a look at the toll it's had on O'Reilly. His nose has grown so much bigger now that you can hardly see his face. Look what it's done to the wall banger. Take a look at the wall banger, what living like that has done to him, looking at minute-by-minute ratings. Radio, we don't get ratings like that. Weekly, monthly, I don't even look at them. I don't really look at them. If I start looking at ratings, I can't do a radio show because it's an invisible audience you're talking to. So I feel that you got to speak from the heart. You got to analyze from the brain. And you got to say it like it is, or else there's no reason to do talk radio. But let us say that we do see the outcome that we all pray for, which is that Obama is thrown out of office and 20 Democrats lose their seats. 20 of them, at least 20 are thrown out, as we know will happen, by the way, if the vote isn't rigged. Look what happened in 2010. There was an election, people. We had an election. The Tea Party's made a sea change in Congress, but you wouldn't know it from Andrea Mitchell and the other practitioners of the one-party system. So let us say we see this event and Obama is thrown out of power. What then? And that's why I say Trickle Down Tyranny is my last nonfiction book. I will write fiction if I'm still living, but I won't write any more of these books because this is the last chance we're going to have to stop him. And that's why I say carry it to work, exhibit it proudly on a bus. I don't care where. Change the course of human events. Trickle Down Tyranny.
Savage.
Only you.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. And it's enough with the only you already. Let's go to something. How about some heavy metal for a minute? You want to do that one? That's a good one. Let's go to the one I like. The guys who kick the balloon or whatever, the kick something. Guys, hello, is anyone there? Are you finding that? Would you have to go in the back room and get the record? You find the record? Yeah. I thought they just hit a button in the control room. In my case, they have to go find it somewhere in the back in a library. Obama administration this. Did you hear about Corzine, XMF Global Treasurer? They took the fifth. When in your life have you seen corporate heads and government heads and related individuals taking the Fifth Amendment? This was gangsters like the Valachi papers. Today, an assistant to old John Corzine took the Fifth Amendment on where the $200 million went. She refuses to testify about an email saying John Corzine transferred $200 million as the firm collapsed. How does he get away with it? A top former MF Global executive criminal declined to testify Wednesday during a House hearing on whether she approved or had knowledge that CEO John Corzine approved the transfer of nearly $200 million in customer funds to cover losses days before the brokerage firm collapsed. Edith O'Brien, the firm's former assistant treasurer, invoked her Fifth Amendment rights to not testify. When in your lifetime, now look, I've been around a while. I've watched politics since I'm 17 years old. Have you ever seen people taking the fifth other than members of La Cosa Nostra? Let's be clear here. You have gangsters running this country. I don't care if they wear a silk suit and a white tie and they were once the New Jersey a congressman that. They're behaving like gangsters. If they walk like gangsters, talk like gangsters, act like gangsters, what do you conclude? That they're a Democrat. That's what you conclude. Subcommittee Chairman Randy Neuberger grilled her about they grilled Henry Steenkamp, the CEO for MF Global Holdings. You know, listen to what he said. He said he had no knowledge about transactions about the $200 million because of his global role and because he was engaged in other serious matters. You hear this? But this one took the fifth. Edith O'Brien took the fifth. The other one said he had no idea where the money went because he was engaged in other serious matters. Okay. Just answer the question, yes or no, Neuberger. R. Texas told Neuberger. This is a hearing, not a trial yet. We're just trying to learn how a 228-year-old company came to its demise. Now, these evil people screwed ranchers and farmers of their life savings. These evil bastards in silk suits should have been arrested right after the money disappeared. But because they own the Democrat Party, because they're a part of the Obama machine, they're walking around as though they're clean as the driven snow. It sickens me. It gets me sick that people could rob farmers and ranchers like this and walk away and not, there's no consequences. So where do the people go for their justice? Tell me where they turn. Where do they turn? Tell me where they turn. Tell me who they turn to. Tell me. Tell me who they turn to. Tell me who they turn to. And the answer is no one has anywhere to turn. Nobody knows what to do. They've never seen such criminality. XMF Global Treasurer declines to testify at alleged cause of money. Have you ever heard anyone take the fifth until this administration appeared? This is the most gangster-ridden administration in history. You say, now, wait a minute, Savage. Corzine's not a member of it. He's a Democrat, isn't he? One of the top Democrats. How do they get away with taking the Fifth Amendment? Do they not understand the American people are not that stupid? Or is it because we're all running around with iPhones in our hands? They figure they can get away with it. I'm asking a simple question. No one's answering me. No one is answering me. And so, therefore, I have very little outlet here other than to tell you. See, I speak for you. Do you think that I'm one man alone screaming in the wind? Do you think I'm the only one who thinks this way? Do you think I'm the only one who speaks this way? Do you think that there's nobody else in this country with a brain on their head who knows that these are criminals and gangsters who robbed the $200 million and that they should have been arrested by now, tried and thrown into prison? Most Americans know what went on. They can see it from a mile away. And they also know he's got what's known, what used to be known in the Soviet Union as protexia. If you're a member of the Communist Party, you can get away with murder. Your business partner could wind up frozen in a river with your fingerprints on his neck. And if you had protexia, you could get away with it. That's why. When have you ever heard anyone take the fifth in your lifetime? It's been going on repeatedly now. These aren't the first, but they're in a chain of people who took the fifth. Do we have a soundbite of those taking the fifth from you know, the one where the Valachi papers, remember that one? It's unbelievable to me. How did they get away with this? How did they get away with it? Where is the alternate party? Where is the opposition party? Why are they not indicting these people for this? There used to be outrage when they brought a gangster up and he wouldn't answer. They'd bang a gavel and they'd get mad. Now nothing. John Boehner goes out for a lucky strike break. He's in the back there doing deals in the back of the room. You think he cares what goes on? I don't think so. I have 3 pages on Corzine and Trickle-Down Tyranny to show you how relevant the book is. I'm reluctant to read it to you because there's more outrage in what I just said than from my own book. But I think I will. It's called The Goldman Sachs Revolution and Trickle-Down Tyranny. And I can read that for you because you know who it traces back to? The instigator of all of this corruption? CEO, the former CEO of Goldman Sachs, Robert Rubin. Remember him? Remember old Robert Rubin, the fly fisherman, who had a PR firm show him as a guy who liked to go fly fishing? When Rubin left Goldman Sachs in the mid-90s to join the Clinton administration, becoming Treasury Secretary in 95, he began a parade of GS executives through the cabinets of American presidents that is still happening. Virtually all the key players on the Obama economic team are former GS employees or sympathizers, and many of them, including Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, Senior Economic Advisor Lawrence Summers, former Budget Director Peter Orszag, were mentored by Rubin himself. The Times of London has named this unholy triumvirate the Robert Rubin Memorial All-Stars. This is on page 85 of Trickle Down Tyranny. I'll read on. After he left the Clinton administration, Rubin, as chairman of another banking giant, Citigroup, brought the Ponzi scheme that he had begun to set up during his tenure as Treasury Secretary to the private sector. How do I get away with this? Huh? You're asking how I get away with it. This is an interesting question. How do I get away with a statement like that in a published book by a major publisher and not fear of being sued by Robert Rubin? Well, first of all, Harper's lawyers read that statement and all the others, and they said, you can't be sued for the truth, is what they said to me. So I'll read it again. After he left the Clinton administration, Robert Rubin, as chairman of another banking giant, Citigroup, brought the Ponzi scheme that he had begun to set up during his tenure as Treasury Secretary to the private sector. It's become the model for the one Goldman Sachs, along with the Bilderberg Group, the IMF, and the Council on Foreign Relations, is now implementing on a global scale. In 2008, a lawsuit was filed against Rubin for defrauding Citibank, shareholders of some $122 billion, an amount greater than twice that of now jailed Ponzi schemer Bernie Madoff. Another Goldman Sachs alum, John Corzine, pulled the same kind of scheme on his investors. Corzine, after he left as chairman of Goldman Sachs in 99, was a U.S. senator from New Jersey before he became the state's governor in 06. He fleeced New Jersey taxpayers and lined the pockets of his union cronies until Chris Christie unseated him in 09. After he was ousted from the New Jersey governor's office, Corzine went back into the financial services business, heading up a company called MF Global, Inc., a company specializing in futures trading. Shall I go on, page 85 of Trickle-Down Tyranny, or you know all of this? Well, let's interrupt this for a moment with a newsreel clip of the Valachi during the McClellan hearings when we still had a government. Listen.
The nation's underworld gets the unwelcome spotlight of publicity as the Senate's investigation subcommittee begins new hearings on crime. Arkansas Senator McClellan is at the helm. Attorney General Robert Kennedy paints a grim picture of the rise of lawlessness under the Cosa Nostra, or Mafia. This he describes as the government of organized gambling, narcotics peddling, extortion, racketeering, and controlling of certain trade unions. He says the income runs into billions. These hearings always attract a large number of spectators. This one is particularly crowded, awaiting the first public appearance of Joseph Valachi, the convicted hoodlum whose confessions to the FBI have reportedly put a price of $100,000 on his head by the infuriated mafia.
Okay, well, that was then when we still had a nation and a media. Now we have a nation of Democrats who take the Fifth Amendment and Andrea Mitchell of MSNBC who covers for these gangsters. I'm outraged that they get away with it, and I'm outraged that the Republicans are being so light on their feet with them. So let me continue from Tyranny of the Treasurer in Trickle-Down Tyranny so you know exactly why my books sell. I'm going on with Corzine. One more paragraph. Less than 2 years after Corzine took the helm, the company filed for bankruptcy after misappropriating customers' money and using it to make $6.3 billion in bets on European bonds. As a result of the turmoil in the Eurozone sovereign bonds, the same ones I've just told you will be the basis of the next crash, the company was downgraded by credit rating agencies to junk status. In the process, it was discovered by so-called regulators, the same people who could have prevented the debacle if they'd kept a closer watch on the company and its CEO in the first place, that MF Global had violated a cardinal investment industry rule. They failed to segregate their clients' money from the company's own cash. Somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.2 billion in clients' money is missing and unaccounted for. More than 1,000 MF Global employees were summarily fired. Corzine resigned in the midst of the growing scandal, then hired Angela Vonder, an attorney who specializes in defending those accused of committing the same kinds of white-collar crimes Corzine is accused of. Corzine was only one in a long line of crooks who shuttled back and forth between government and the financial industry using what they learned at Goldman Sachs. But whereas Madoff and Corzine focused on fleecing individual investors, Rubin developed the model for the institutional ripoff. What we're currently witnessing in the international financial markets is Rubin's model put into practice on a global scale. Here's how it works. And then I explain the current so-called debt crisis and the scheme in Trickle Up Poverty, the most important book you will ever read in your life. I'll be right back. So, pardon me for getting worked up in the last segment about Corzine and his minions taking the Fifth Amendment, but I don't understand how anyone can tolerate this, and I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't understand it because, you know, if a poor kid in this country, white, black, doesn't matter, Asian, gets caught robbing $50 worth of goods out of a store, they'll give him a sentence of maybe 1 to 3 years, maybe suspended. But if $200 million go missing or $1.2 billion go missing, you become a senator. Senator Corleone, Governor Corleone. Oh, we'll get there, Mike. We got there, Mike. We didn't have enough time. There was more truth in that book by Mario Puzo and that movie than in so many other things I've seen in my lifetime. But I have never in my lifetime seen people taking the Fifth Amendment who were not members of organized crime, as I see under this administration. For example, it started with the Solyndra scandal when the so-called executives of Solyndra would not testify. By the way, I have to correct myself. I gave an impassioned speech in the last segment, and I said the book was Trickle Up Poverty, the most important book you'll ever read. I meant Trickle Down Tyranny, okay? You got to get your trickles right. I want you to now listen to Solyndra's CEO and CFO taking the Fifth Amendment a few months ago. Listen.
Gentlemen, I would like to know what role you all played in the subordination and whether or not your company or agents of your company came up with the legal theory that allowed subordination in direct conflict with what the statute passed by this Congress says. So if each of you could answer that, I would appreciate it.
On the advice of my counsel, I invoke the privilege afforded to me by the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, and I respectfully decline to answer any questions.
On advice of my counsel, I invoke the privilege afforded by the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I respectfully decline to answer the question.
I don't apologize. That's my life. But I thought that when it was your time, that the Jew would be the one to hold the strings. Senator Corleone. Governor Corleone. Something.
I'm not a Petsonovant.
This wasn't enough time, Michael. Wasn't enough time.
We'll get there, Pop.
Well, they got there. That's all they got there. The only difference between us and Sicily at that time is that the food is better there. And the reason the Sicilian food is so wonderful, as I understand it, is because the people had such frustration with the government that they had little to do other than stay at home at night and cook and eat and enjoy themselves, enjoy their families, number one. But seriously, if you study the history of that great country of Sicily, you realize, and it's a sad story in a way, the number of times Sicily, that island nation, was conquered, invaded and conquered by one peoples after another. And each of those invasions left their mark on the island and a mixture of you know, cuisines. And it's a very complex country, Sicily, incidentally. But on a serious note, when have you ever seen corporate executives able to get away with taking the Fifth Amendment without immediately being put in handcuffs? See, if they weren't all in on it, meaning the questioners, the questionee, Republican, Democrat, if they weren't all in on the scam, I think they would have been indicted on the way out of the door. They would have slapped cuffs on them within 48 hours. Oh, you're taking the Fifth? That means you're guilty. Bingo, we're indicting you. That would have been, grand jury would have been called, and an indictment would have been laid down within 30 days. Now you got it going on. That's a regular thing now. You take the Fifth, that's normal. You want to masticate food and spit it into your child's mouth? That's normal. The new normal. You want to jog looking at an iPhone where you can trip over your own feet? That's the new norm. You want to lie to everybody? That's the new norm. You want to whisper to the head of Russia that you're going to screw the American people and your allies the minute you're reelected because you know you're getting reelected because you control it? That's the new norm. Now, where's John Boehner? Okay, they ushered him out. They took him out of the mortuary, and he muttered something about it today. Where's Romney? Romney. Where's Romney? Find Waldo. Find Waldo. You find Waldo and tell him I say hello. I'll vote for Waldo. I don't expect big changes on any level with Waldo, except on the issues that I tell you are very important to me. National security is number one. I do not sleep well at night knowing that we have this group in the White House, knowing that the individuals in counterterrorism may in fact be sort of playing the other side. Let's put it to you that way. I get those feelings at night. Knowing that this government may be watching you and me, that doesn't make me sleep well at night. I feel like I'm living in the ex-Soviet Union under this administration. And so under Romney, I know I won't have those feelings. Unless he doesn't have the guts to get rid of these people. I don't know. I don't know how much damage Obama's really done on the inside of this nation. I don't know how long it would take to get rid of some of these operatives for the other team. I don't know. I really don't know how quickly it can be done. I know that there was a time when a president would come in and fire every U.S. attorney. Every one of them would be fired. That's if they were Democrats. They get rid of every conservative patriot in the U.S. Attorney's office and throw them out so they could put in one of their communist minions and move them up on the bench, which is why I said years ago, the stench from the bench is making me clench. But that was just a joke. This is no joke anymore. Anyhow, look, here we are. Maybe the Supreme Court will strike down Obamacare, and that will be the end of this tyranny, the beginning of the end of the tyranny. Or we could have Jackson, the equivalent of Andrew Jackson, saying to the Supreme Court, and don't be shocked if this is not going to happen. The Supreme rules against Obamacare, throws the whole thing out, right? And then Obama says, now that you've ruled in force, that could happen. What year was it, Beowulf, that we looked it up? And it was Andrew Jackson. 1830s, Andrew Jackson ruled against the Congress that had wanted to stop the removal of the Indians, the Cherokees, am I mistaken? It was the Cherokees. Congress wanted to block the exodus, throwing the Cherokee Indians out of their homelands to the west, to the Badlands. Congress said, no, that's a bad thing. Don't do it to the Cherokees. Jackson wanted the Indians driven out of their homelands. Congress said no. Supreme Court supported Congress. Jackson said, now that you have found in force, meaning I have the army, go to hell. Don't think it can't happen again. We are living in very dangerous times with very, very seriously dysfunctional Leninists in very high places, in my humble opinion. But then again, I'm only a talk show host. I'm not in Congress.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Listen to some of the audio today, including extremist Maxine Hayter Waters calling the shooting of Trayvon Martin a hate crime.
There are too many unanswered questions, and I really personally believe this is a hate crime. Let me just say this. The evidence really points to a fact that you had a gung-ho so-called neighborhood watchman who wanted to be a cop, basically, who was following a young black man who was unarmed and had committed no crime. That's pretty stiff evidence that this is possibly a hate crime.
Now you have to listen to the fellow traveler, the commie crawler, Andrea Mitchell, in Cuba, glorifying that failed health care system. The health care system is so amazing in Cuba that Castro had to go out of the country in order to get treated. It's unbelievable to me.
Cuba has a very, Fidel Castro once showed me the laboratories when they were briefly controversial. There was an erroneous claim that they were biomedical weaponry, and he showed, you know, that they were basically making antibiotics.
You got into the inner sanctum to see what was going on.
It was quite amazing. We have universal coverage here. Of course, it's a very different society and an economic model that would not work in the United States. What do you see as the advantages of the Cuban system, the low infant mortality rate, for instance, which is legendary around the world, but also the gaps that you're trying to fill?
I was struck by what one of the medical students said about having so little and building up to more, because obviously what they've done in healthcare here wasn't built in a day.
Finally, you need to hear the audio of longtime Black Panther and now Chicago Democrat Bobby Rush, one of Obama's homies. He's a congressman, but he's a homie, being kicked off the floor of the House for wearing a hooded sweatshirt.
In the book of Michael 668,
the member will suspend.
These words.
The member will
These suspend. Words. He the has member, shown you, old man.
The member will
what is
suspend.
Good,
the chair must remind
what does
members
not,
of
what does the Lord
of
require
17.
You but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And in the New Testament, Luke 4:18-20 teaches us these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. I urge all who hear these words to heed these lessons. May God bless Trayvon Martin's soul, his family.
The member is no longer recognized.
Well, here's all the news on michaelsavage.com and more. Well, it looks like the train wreck called Obamacare is about to go off the rails. The Supreme Court is asking the Solicitor General, well, how do we dismantle the law? One writer is calling it a plane wreck for Obama. The administration is trying to rebrand Obamacare into something else. They're renaming it. They're calling the government mandate that you buy it the personal responsibility clause. Can you believe this? And the Obama administration is now referring to Obamacare as a bipartisan bill. That's even though Nancy Pelosi forced it down everyone's throat like Mussolini. Not one Republican voted for the so-called Affordable Care Act on final passage. So the fact of the matter is the court is expected to issue a ruling in June. That should be a blockbuster. That should be a blockbuster when it comes out. Watch out, though. It's all trickle-down tyranny. TSA manager arrested for running prostitution ring. State Department refuses to say if Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. John Boehner, remember him? He's been found somewhere, and he said he's, I'm alarmed by the talk of a secret deal with the Russians. What was it about? Obama campaign says Republicans are politicizing the Trayvon Martin death. That's even though an ex-Black Panther in Congress wore a hoodie on the Hill. Can you believe this? It's beyond comprehension, the double talk and the propaganda. Incidentally, Romney has not been endorsed by the Soviet Union. Pravda of Russia endorses Obama. They attacked Romney. I guess they love Obama, saying that he'll give them everything they want when he's reelected. Now let's go to the bottom of michaelsavage.com and see what's there for your viewing nausea. No, I have to say nausea because I can't tell you. I look at the news sometimes. I myself can't believe what's going on. You think it's pleasant to show pictures like this? I have the best picture site in the entire business, I think, right? Here's what's on the page, the stuff that you missed. Let's start on the bottom. If you haven't seen it, it's worth looking at. Well, I don't know that you should. A man arrested for insulting Muhammad on Twitter. In Kuwait, it was called blasphemy, using social media. Pakistani acid victim commits suicide. Take a look at what the wonderful Islamist did to her face. You'll never believe this. A pro-life film rejected by a major studio is blitzing the box office. It's against abortion. No studio wanted to touch it. It was too controversial, just like the Savage Nation is, just like trickle-down tyranny is considered too controversial for Fox News, ABC, CBS, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox News, NBC, CBS, NBC. Okay? You put them all together, you get SOVIETUNION. But notice to the American people, trickle-down tyranny is the one book you need to take to work, to walk to work, to walk to work, to carry it around, to stop Obama before we lose all of our constitutional rights. I want you to flood the bookstores next week. Jewish boy beaten outside Paris school. Anti-Semitic slogans. State Department won't say Jerusalem is in Israel. I told you that already. I'll say it again. Black Panther leader who offered $10,000 bounty on Trayvon shooter arrested on weapons charge. Really? Texas nightclub owner linked to Hezbollah. No kidding. Gingrich lays off one-third of staff, cuts schedule. Now, if only he could work on his Beltline. Two-thirds of the American people oppose some or all of Obamacare. Do you believe this? That's two-thirds of the people. 1-800-449-8255. Finally, Trayvon's mother has trademarked her son's name so that the merchandise, which is hitting stands throughout Florida, can flow into the kitty. Only in America. All this and more right here on The Savage Nation.
There are too many unanswered questions, and I really personally believe this is a hate crime. Let me just say this. The evidence really points to a fact that you had a gung-ho so-called neighborhood watchman who wanted to be a cop, basically, who was following a young black man who was unarmed and had committed no crime. That's pretty stiff evidence that this is possibly a hate crime.
You know how much that irritates me? Well, just think how your throat would feel this spring without Pine Brothers' softish throat drops. Remember Pine Brothers? Those soft, delicious throat drops we all grew up with, the ones your parents bought to soothe you when you had a sore throat that you couldn't stop eating after your throat got better? Well, they're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors, and they're just as wonderful and effective as you can remember. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothers.com.
Savage.
But
The reason this is concerning is because it requires the individual to do an affirmative act. In the law of torts, our tradition, our law has been that you don't have the duty to rescue someone if that person's in danger. The blind man's walking in front of a car and you do not have a duty to stop him, absent some relation between you. And there's some severe moral criticisms of that rule, but that's generally the rule.
The same, it seems to me, would be true, say, for the market in emergency services. Police, fire, ambulance, roadside assistance, whatever. You don't know when you're going to need it. You're not sure that you will. But the same is true for health care. You don't know if you're going to need a heart transplant or if you ever will. So there's a market there. In some extent, we all participate in it. So can the government require you to buy a cell phone because that would facilitate responding when you need emergency services? You can just dial 911 no matter where you are.
Oh, this is sad. Wheelchair-bound woman drowns in pool and pond. You can't laugh about that. You can't even control. There's a lot of old people who go off the road a lot. I saw a sign on the side. There's like bike paths down here, which are nice. I'm a bicyclist, but I would never ride a bicycle down here on a road. You got people, octogenarians, they can't see over the steering wheel. They look like Mr. and Mrs. Magoo. They have no idea where they are. They drive by celestial navigation. They're so low in the seat, they have to look up at the stars. The problem is there are no stars during the day. They're knocking bicyclists off like tenpins. So the police had to put up these signs on the side of the road, like, you know, in lights. And it says, drivers, look out for bicyclists. And then the next thing that comes up to show that they're fair is bicyclists no more than two abreast. I would like to see that sign in California. You got six of these vermin lawyers. They take over roads. You don't know what to do with them. They're the worst scum on the earth. By the way, this is an interesting story, and thank God there's some truth came out. They did a survey of the most hated state in the country. California's number one. The most hated state, despised around the country. So listen to what the schmucks in San Francisco write. Well, they hate us because they're jealous. You hear? They have no idea why they're hated. They're like Democrats. They're like in denial. They drank the Kool-Aid. Why do Americans hate California and Californians? Oh, they're jealous of you. They're jealous of your income. Those in the Occupy Oakland group, they're jealous of you because you have such freedom. Freedom to rattle your chains, you moron. Yeah, and I drive these cars. I ride a bike down here, but I go across the road into the residential area. One thing I like about down here, I'll tell you, is the bridges that go up and down. That is really something to watch. I try to time it so I don't have to sit on the roadside, you know, with the people from Jersey Shore licking an ice cream cone with the wife-beating shirts. I don't want to hear that conversation. I can do without it. You know, once is quite it's charming enough. What outfits down here. My God, you can't believe it. How a man could dress up like this with shorts and a wife beater shirt. Oh, listen to this one. I'm walking in the streets last. You can walk around at night. You can hear things. The one thing I like about East Coast people is they talk. California, everyone's like subversive. Everything's covert. They're like cats and kittens. Nobody says a word in California. You're afraid you might hear them. They don't talk. Or New Yorkers, East Coast, they talk. So I'm in the streets last night after the show. I went for a walk in one of the towns. I'm not going to tell you where. I'm walking in the street. I'm like tired after the show. It was a bad day for me. I was exhausted. I didn't want to like lay in bed. So I got up, you know, went out. I don't even know what I ate. I ate nothing. It's not your business. But I don't eat any. Well, I was going to talk about food again later, but because I think I have food addiction. I may go to that group later tonight if it's open at midnight. I'm walking in the street. It's packed. Packed. Packed, I tell you. In China, they're teaching them calculus in the fifth grade. Our children are learning how to take vacations and collect welfare or whatever they're learning, how to put a condom on a toy cucumber. Three women, early 20s. Are walking together. I didn't pay much attention to so many people, blah, 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 but I look at people. I'm a people watcher. I love looking at people. I miss it in California. There's nothing to look at there. Everyone looks the same in California. It's like one bland, like dummy, like a department store dummy in California. At least here there's a diversity of white people. You hear what I just said? The towns, by the way, it's very interesting. It's all Caucasian, 99%. And diverse, the Caucasian groups, interestingly enough. You know, not all whites look alike. Very diverse. Now, you may have forgotten that. So, no, is that illegal, Beowulf, what I just said? All whites don't look alike? There's nothing wrong with that, is there? It's pretty good. So three women are walking, and here's what I overhear as I go by, like I'm hitting a stop set. One says to the other, why are you pulling your dress up? The other says to her, because she's showing too much. The other one says, she's got a perfect body. Let her do what she wants. I couldn't believe it. But it was interesting. It was like three chicks, I was saying, three girls, 22, 23, 21. Why are you pulling your dress up? Because she's showing too much. She's got a perfect body. Why can't she show it? See, in every group of three women, there's one hot one. Then there's like the supporting staff. They're like the supporters. One tells her she's gorgeous, and the other one sort of mocks her and keeps her under control so she doesn't get carried away in like a bar. No, it's a very interesting thing. They're like wingmen, I suppose, in the Air Force. She's like in the front, the one with the good body, right, the workout body. And then there's the trailer, the left and right. I swear to God, it was a real conversation. Why are you pulling your dress up? Because she's showing too much. She's got a perfect body. Leave her alone. I swear to you. We are on a Savage Nation. Americans hate California. It's the most despised state in the nation, poll finds. But the lying fools in the local papers say, but why? Maybe they're just jealous. They're jealous of our low standard of living and our degeneracy. Biker guilty of killing Hell's Angels chief. Christa Rabelette, 31, get life for stabbing and shooting the head of the Hell's Angels Frisco chapter. We'll leave that one alone. Thank you. Look at this crate. Oh, wow, we got a great caller here. I can't deal with politics. Is it any wonder I'm reading, like, events around the... I told you I read this already. America's per capita government debt worse than Greece. Las Vegas, Richard, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I'm a psychologist. You were just talking about the attractive girl with the other girls with him.
Yes.
That's kind of a psychological thing. I found that you'll always usually find a very attractive girl with a friend. Their friends usually are not near as attractive for comparison purposes.
So the good-looking one chooses them so they stand out. I see.
Correct. It's also a lot of the attractive ones have a low self-esteem for some reason, and they need this comparison to build up their ego and their self-esteem.
I heard when I was a young man that some of the most gorgeous women, I mean the actresses and models, would look at themselves in the mirror and see ugly women.
Correct.
You're in Vegas. Do you see that with the showgirls?
Yes, they wear 16 pounds of makeup. And when you see most of them without their makeup, they're not near what you think they look like.
Well, look, everything is an illusion up to us. You know, they live in illusion. Women are... the side of the species that we use for our illusions, don't we? Men are not supposed to dress up in the peacock feathers in our society. But if you go to, you know, as an anthropologist earlier in my life, certainly I don't have to spell this one out for you as a psychologist. In many societies, it's the men who wear the fancy feathers.
True, but men don't do the same thing. If a good-looking guy doesn't choose his friends to be just the opposite.
That's an intriguing one. What do they choose? They're alone to stand out?
No, they want the same. You usually see a bunch of guys at a bar or friends.
Oh, so it's like three jocks together. They all look good. Interesting. You see that? You never know what you're going to hear on the Savage Nation. I can't wait till I come back.
Savage.
Where's the Tea Party? With the general election fast approaching, where'd the Tea Party go? Is the Tea Party past its prime, or will the Tea Party have an impact on the upcoming election? Well, joining us right now to discuss this is Jim Antle, the associate editor for the American Spectator. Jim Antle, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, great to talk to you today.
So what exactly happened to the Tea Party?
Well, I think what we've seen is that there are a lot of activists with the Tea Party who are still out there, and they're still very involved in races, but they're just a lot less of a friendly environment than you had in 2010. You had a lot of people who were very excited in getting involved in campaigns in the first time, and you had a lot of Republicans who were very obviously vulnerable on certain issues. You know, you had candidates like Charlie Crist, who wasn't very conservative, and Arlen Specter, who wasn't very conservative, and you also had a really impressive crop of Tea Party candidates. Everybody focuses on the ones who do badly, but Rand Paul was a very impressive candidate. Marco Rubio was a strong candidate. So you had a very fertile environment. And what I think you're seeing a lot of this year is races where the Tea Party candidates are not of the same caliber as they were in 2010, or situations where the incumbent Republicans are not quite as weak or as vulnerable as they were back then. But I don't think that the Tea Party sentiment has really gone away.
What effect has the Tea Party had on the race for the White House, if any?
Well, I think what you're seeing is the Tea Party is part of the Republican base becoming more discriminating. They're starting to look much more carefully at the conservatism and the records of the candidates who are running for office. And I think you've seen that play out to a certain extent in the presidential race. You know, Mitt Romney has overwhelming fundraising and organizational advantages, yet he's really struggled to wrap up the nomination in the time frame everyone expected. You're also seeing various people, you know, from Herman Cain to Rick Santorum, briefly Michelle Bachmann. You're seeing a sort of merry-go-round of people who have sort of held up the Tea Party banner, you know, for at least a period of time. And as their records have been scrutinized, some conservatives have even decided to pass on them. So while there's been no clear establishment versus Tea Party race in quite the same way we saw some of the primaries 2 years ago, you definitely see the Tea Party shaping the Republican presidential campaign.
Other than the race for the White House, what races across the country are Tea Party is still trying to win?
Well, I think the big one and one where they have one of their best chances for a pickup opportunity is in the U.S. Senate race in Indiana. Richard Lugar is running for reelection. He's held office since the 1970s. He was recently ruled to not even really be a resident of Indiana, so he's going to have to file an appeal to even be able to vote for himself in the primary. And Richard Murdoch, a conservative state treasurer, is running against him, you know, campaigning against Lugar's record of support for bank and auto industry ballots, bailouts, and you know, his support for the START treaty and other things that he's done that have irritated, you know, conservative Hoosiers. And just the basic idea that Lugar is really more a creature of Washington than a creature of Indiana, his home state.
Is there any chance that the Tea Party has a more successful 2012 than they had in 2010? They were really successful.
I think what you're going to see this time is maybe partly the maturation of the Tea Party. You know, so you saw with past conservative protest groups, whether it's the Christian right, whether it's some of the more libertarian Republicans like Ron Paul, where at first they manifest themselves in a lot of primary challenges and trying to oppose the party leadership. Now I think you're seeing a lot more Tea Party activists becoming integrated within the party, just as it has happened in the past. So in some cases, the Tea Party isn't running against the Republican machine because they've integrated themselves into that machine. And in some cases, though, I think you're going to still see the kind of primary campaigns that you saw in 2010 continue in 2012 and beyond.
Hey, if we look back 30 years from now, what do you think people are going to be saying about the Tea Party?
I think you're going to see the Tea Party is going to resemble the first mass movement of protest on the right in decades in the United States. I think, you know, the Tea Party, I think, will be seen a little bit more in context of a longstanding conservative protest within the GOP that really can date all the way back to Barry Goldwater's 1964 presidential campaign. In terms of what the Tea Party will ultimately accomplish, that's a chapter that I think is still being written. And I don't think we'll even know the outcome of that when we find out who wins the presidential election in November. I think that's something that's going to play out over the next 10 years.
When we look back 30 years from now, what do you think people are going to be stating about the vermin in the Occupy movement?
The Occupy movement, I think, is an even harder one to really determine what its long-term impact is going to be, because the occupiers have much less of a specific program. I think the Tea Party is very united by the idea that government spending is too high, that the government debt is too high and unsustainable, taxed enough already, that taxes are too high, and that tax increases shouldn't be the way we deal with deficits or deal with you know, the government's growing fiscal problems. The Occupy movement is based on some ideas about economic unfairness, based on some ideas that Wall Street may have a little bit too much power and influence over what's going on in government, but they don't really have a specific program, and they've really gotten caught up in a lot of the personal misbehavior of a lot of the activists that are involved in their movement. Whether they can recapture some kind of a message or whether it just becomes a bunch of hippies making parks dirty in the street, you know, that remains to be seen.
Finally, do you think a Tea Party is going to back Romney? I hope so, because we have no other choice.
I think you're going to see most people associated with the Tea Party are going to be so intent on defeating Barack Obama that they will vote for the Tea Party. But I think how they deal with Mitt Romney is going to be sort of a crossroads for people associated with that movement. Do they support him indiscriminately? Do they buy into him as completely as a lot of conservatives did George W. Bush, no matter what kind of record he compiles? This is really going to be a big test for whether the Tea Party makes it to the next level of American politics, whether it's a movement that's based purely on frustration with the current president, or whether they're going to follow through with an agenda of smaller government and more controlled debt and deficit spending than we've seen in the past.
Jim Antle, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
You can check out my columns and my blog posts weekly at The American Spectator at spectator.org. Michael, it was really good being on your show.
This is The Savage Nation.
Savage.
About three topics, and I don't think they are related. One is, why have you tuned out of talk radio, yet you listen to me? Two, I forgot already. Two is the pornography question. Three is the adult children who won't leave home. Why should they? Nancy Pelosi just made Obamacare available till you're age 26. You hear? A 26-year-old infant laying in bed at home with a hairnet. And he gets up at 5 o'clock to get ready to go to the club. And he tells you, I can't find it. I went to Harvard for 4 years. I majored in comparative literature. Well, what was comparative literature? Well, I compared illiterate literature to English literature, and we discovered that illiterate literature is better than English literature. And he doesn't know why he can't get a job. He can't write, and he uses, like, I don't know whether to save up money. I'm going to save up money. I don't want to incur debt. That's the world we're in. So let's take some calls on these three topics on the Savage Nation. They're not related, are they? Is there a relationship between pornography, talk radio, and adult children who won't leave home? I don't know. I really don't know if there is yes or no. Las Vegas, Debbie, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Michael. You are about the only talk show that Vegas has that will actually tell everybody the truth anymore. The woman we listened to at from 5 to 9 in the morning, they fired for speaking her voice, and now we have nobody but you, and we have to wait until 3 o'clock in the afternoon to get you.
Well, I've been on that station. It's K-Dawn, isn't it, in Las Vegas? I've been on that station for about 15 years.
You're still on it.
That's a shock. I didn't know that. I'm afraid to wake up every day and check my affiliate list.
And I tell you what, you know.
That's sad. Listen, I'm going to send you Trickle Down Tyranny where you can get all of the truth in one compendium and show it to everybody. Vegas, they drive around and listen to me in taxis. They make people listen to the Savage Nation. I don't think they'd be against pornography in Las Vegas. I mean, that's a town that lives, right? I mean, Las Vegas is pornographic. The entire town is pornographic. And I don't know that, you know, this is a really touchy question. Can you believe, can you be a believing person and still be, like, addicted to pornography? Can you believe in God and watch pornography at the same time and then confess your sins? Is that how that works? I don't know how that works. I mean, come on. Like, what do you think? Everyone's clean as the driven snow, like a cardboard cutout. I mean, what do you think people do that? What do you think they confess for? Why do you think the confessional became so popular over millennia? Because everyone was no good. They knew it, too. Then they get a chance to absolve themselves in a secret booth. They go out and do it again the next minute. I mean, it's not a bad system. It's actually a very good system, I'll tell you the truth. I don't know why the Jewish people don't introduce such a thing, like where you go in and talk to a rabbi, tell him how bad you were. I think it'll be very good. That's one of the greatest religious... I'm trying to use the right word without offending Bill Donahue of the Catholic League, who, after supporting the Catholic Church for 10 years, I got attacked for daring to say that they live off illegal aliens. They didn't leave me alone for that one statement. Everybody knows that. Why should a cardinal, why should an American bishop come out and say he's in favor of illegal immigration? I thought there was a separation of church and state. That's all I said. Bill Donahue attacks me for that. See, no one supports me. 10 years I support the Catholic Church, and they rip me to pieces because I dare say a thing like that. So I support nobody anymore. All I support is the truth. That's it. That's my number one support. I just go where the truth is, and I get into some hot water for it. So let's go to the calls now on the Sabbath. Teddy just brushed my leg here in the studio. He must want something. No. I must admit that I cheated on his diet and gave him a little of the Chinese food today. No, I know it's not right, but he saw me going crazy eating the salt baked chicken from this Chinese restaurant where the Israeli prime minister unfortunately ate. I say unfortunately because you won't be able to get in there anymore. Food went downhill. It stinks. I mean, how can you know Chinese food after you've eaten gefilte fish? I mean, that, you know what I'm saying? It's mutually exclusive. Nevertheless, the dog loved the salt baked chicken, but he's drinking water like crazy. One thing I learned today is I sense that this is why you don't want to hear it anymore. The corruption of the Obama administration, you're anesthetized to it. And it's not that you don't know it goes on. You know all too well it goes on. You also know all of this man's behaviors. At least you think you do. And you wouldn't be shocked by anything. If you woke up tomorrow and found out that he signed a pact with China, which permitted China, for example, to publish a puff piece in the Washington Post that completely ignored the human rights abuses, that talked about the benevolent nature of the Chinese dictatorship, you'd be shocked, right? It just happened. Again, he had nothing to do with it. That's the Washington Post, the media side of the Obama administration. I've been trying to tell you about the government media complex since 1998. It exists. It's real. It's the same as Pravda was in the Soviet Union, only worse. Only worse. See, when you have a government-controlled media, that's one thing. But when you have a media that doesn't really have to do it, and it does it anyway, then it's even worse. Because then there's nobody left to tell you about it anymore. So that's why we're not talking about the corruption. And I put it all into what trickle-down tyranny and what he's going to do next. What I fear, truthfully, is that if he's reelected, as tepid as Romney is, I don't fear Romney. I think Romney's like a benign kind of guy, you know, so he's a financially oriented guy. But he would never, ever impose on the American people what this man has done and would like to do. Never. He would not consort with dictators. The corruption would end in Washington to the extent that it possibly could end. I'm not saying it would ever end because the system is set up to be corrupt. That's why it functions altogether. And, it's just like every department store knows there's going to be a certain amount of pilferage or shoplifting, and they account for that in the cost of doing business. I would say a democracy recognizes that there's going to be graft and corruption up to a certain level, and you live with it. But, you know, when it reaches a certain saturation point, you can't live with it. You go bankrupt, which is what we are. So, you know what I'm saying? That's why I wrote Trickle-Down Tyranny, and I want you to buy the book, yes. I want you to buy the book because I want you to show it to one person who does not know what's going on. Is that good enough? Is that a good enough reason? Okay, now let's go to the topics on the Savage Nation about the kids who are staying at home. This is a very good caller coming up. Tony in Pittsburgh, you have a good idea. What is it? Go ahead, please.
Okay, Mike, to get rid of the 30-year-old freeloaders, you look at them with a cold eye and say, that little job you have, whenever you bring it, that money home, half of it's mine, 40% maybe. We'll talk about it.
You mean if you have a kid, an adult kid at home who has, let's say, a pizza job, he can't do any better right now, he should pay rent in your house?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did. You know, Tony, you reminded me of something. I didn't realize it, but when I first got out of college, I did live at home, and my father didn't yell at me, in no derogatory way. He said to me very quietly, he said, well, look, if you're going to stay here in your room, he said, that's okay. He said, but you're going to have to pay rent. I was shocked. Because, look, when a kid grows up and he doesn't pay for food or room, no one pays for that, right? And your father says to you, you have to pay for it because you're working now and it costs something to feed you. It's a shocking statement coming from a parent then when you first hear it. But that's when you first realize things cost anything.
Exactly.
Right? How is a kid going to know that a roof over your head actually costs something unless he pays a part of his upkeep is what you're saying, right, Tony?
Right. Got that.
Okay, you got a free book, Trickle Down Tyranny, 1-800-449-8255. Now let's move on to the porn issue. Ban or no ban? Santorum right, Santorum wrong. Who's the woman who called who said that it ruined her marriage? Where is that one? That's a salacious caller. I want to see. Dropped. Okay, her husband heard her. Oh, lives at home, lots of reasons. Florida, Rob on the Rob, welcome. Are you listening to me in Fort Lauderdale area, in the Fort Lauderdale area?
I'm actually in the Jacksonville area.
Oh, okay, you're in the northern, you're in the panhandle area.
Yeah, absolutely. I just graduated.
That's the real Florida. I have nothing against South Florida, but that's sort of like New York, New Jersey, South, with a little mixture of Cuba and Haiti.
Yeah, my comment, Dr. Savage, was I think times have kind of changed since I just graduated from Florida State, and I have a job and everything, and I'm planning on moving out. But I think part of the Obama administration wants to keep college grads still at home. I think they want people dependent on the government. They want gas prices high. So with people having more worries about their own lives, they won't worry as much as Obama doing all these crazy things that no one else would have ever gotten away with.
Rob, you obviously went to a university where you were able to maintain sort of an independent mind. How did you get through FSU thinking like this?
It wasn't easy. Ironically enough, at the commencement speech at the graduation, it was actually a pretty conservative lawyer from Miami who gave it.
You went to FSU where? In which campus?
In Tallahassee. Now, Tallahassee... Okay.
Yeah, but Tallahassee's a conservative area compared to Boca Raton, for example, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, if you went to the FSU campus in Boca, you'd have a whole different attitude. You'd have to repeat the Karl Marx dictates in order to get your degree.
Can I comment on the porn thing too, Dr. Savage?
I wish you would. Yes, tell me what a young person thinks.
Now I don't care about porn. It's not an issue to me. But I think that him even bringing it up at a time that the country's in this big of a crisis with so many other issues, bigger issues, more important issues, he's talking about porn.
That's equivalent to Rick Santorum distracting us talking about contraception, in essence. It's sort of a collateral issue to you.
I mean, there's so many more things he could be talking about. And
all right, that's probably a very reasonable position you're taking. I think you're right that most Americans would say, you know what, it's not that big an issue to me. I don't even want to talk about it.
But I also think this kind of relates back to college kids staying at home, whereas the decency level of America has just dropped. Now, I know there's kids that go to college where I went, and they drink every day. They go to school just so they can live off their parents and go drink, and, you know, that is related to the porn industry because the decency level of America's dropping.
You mean the issue of self-respect, for example? I think that's what you're trying to say, a sense of self-respect.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, you're a very interesting caller, Rob. If you name it, you gain it. What's the name of the book you're going to get?
Trickle Down Tyranny.
Oh, you were ready for this one. I can see how you got your degree. Stay on the line.
Savage.